Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Oh, what a great promise for a new year. You can do the rest, you know. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest.
Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Yeah, it's such a powerful word. You know, when we had a lot of disruption towards the back end of last year, I started to think, oh God, we don't need this. We just don't need this again. We don't need another move. But then suddenly you get a word like that and you think, God's got this. God is moving us. I remember I just preached a sermon and I had God's got this. And Jen phoned me up for the week and went, well, I hope God has got this because he kicked us out, you know. You need to find a new venue. But, you know, I was just reading, you know, I was buzzing off. So there's so much here. Sometimes you get these scriptures. Sometimes you get a word, and it's a good word, that good biblical word. Sometimes the Spirit speaks in a picture way. Sometimes the Spirit and the Word come together, and sometimes the Spirit and the Word and the circumstances as well are almost just absolutely spot on. So the thing that was buzzing off this was where did it start off? 26, wasn't it? It starts off at 16. Move away from us, you've become too powerful for us. Is it not working this? Is it all right? Is it a bit edgy? Okay. So the first bit was, move away from us, you've become too powerful. You can see, it just explained St. Mary's to us, didn't it? We was in there, it was a healthy, vibrant, spirit-filled church. And you think, we can't have a church in our school hall. It's a threat to us. You know, they're too powerful. You know, to think a little old church plant, you know, we're a threat to this big Catholic church that everyone wants to go to, and he wanted us away from him. I thought that was just amazing. But then there's the other stuff about digging up wells that had already been filled in, and Andrew didn't know this and couldn't have known this, but that God has spoken to us and given us a significant word that we would reap where other people have sown. And I think that's still a promise for us. It's still a promise that stands good for us today, that there'll be places around here that people have dug and that have been filled in and forgotten about, and we're going to dig there. And we're going to reap. And it's going to be easy. It's going to be easy. And then finally, the place I'm sending to you is Rehoboth, which means open space. And you just walk through those double doors and just see floor to ceiling open space. This is just such a fantastic word, isn't it? Such a fantastic word to start the new year with. And Ben texted me when Andrew sent this and said, if you've seen that word, you need to use it to start your preaching. I'm like, it's such a fantastic, fantastic word. I'll probably bounce back. I'll probably refer to that as we kind of go through this today. Well, today we're beginning our new series called God at Work. And basically, what we're going to be taking a look at is how we can, as individuals, kind of step up and step out in the area of kind of personal evangelism and wherever God's placed us. So, and when we're thinking God at Work, you know, your place of work might be the shop floor at Asda or Sainsbury's or not anymore, Hannah, or, you know, your place of work might be the shop floor, it might be the classroom, it might be the office, it might be home, it might be the school. We're not just talking about secular employment here, but what we are talking about is we want to be a church that sees God at work wherever he's placed us. We want to be revealing Jesus to people wherever God's put us. So, for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this topic, and we're going to be exploring it as a theme. So, I've not got a particular book in mind, I've not got a particular scripture in mind, but what we're going to be doing is, we're going to be going through it as a theme, and we're going to be inviting people to come in and share stories, testimonies, encouragements, challenges, you know, fails, you know, tips, techniques, and encouragements for us. Because all this is kind of, all this is rooted in who we are as a church, isn't it? We want to see the light of Christ be brought to a lost and broken world. We must remember that's not just a fancy tagline. That is who we are, isn't it? We're a church on a mission, and we want to see the life of Christ come to a lost and broken world. So I'm hoping it's going to raise our faith, raise our boldness, and I'm hoping it's going to raise our confidence as we see. Who was it who said this year we're going to see people saved? Did you just say that? We said it. I don't know. We're going to see people saved, aren't we, though, this year? You said that. Yeah, we are. And as we kind of step out and and take these chances that God gives us, we're going to see our non-Christian friends saved. And what I would, the one challenge I would say, if you look around at all your friends and they're all Christians, you need to get some new friends. Okay? You need to get some new friends. Yeah? I don't mind if you cut me out. You cut me out because you're trying to get someone else saved. That's absolutely fantastic. So you can do things like Matt Fawcett's just joined a games board club night on a Thursday. It sounds like hell to me. But he's going there to make new friends. And hopefully you're going to see fruit from that, aren't you, Matt? You know, I just love that heart that says, what can I do to connect with people? What can I do to get out there? This is what I'm talking about. When I say God at work, yeah, get out there. Join a board game night. That's radical. Fantastic. It is, isn't it? It is. So I wanted to start off by just reflecting on Psalm 127, verse 1 says this. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And when we first got that word from Andrea, me and Nicola were so excited, thinking, yes, let's start digging. Yes, come on, God, you're doing amazing things. Let's do this. But actually, I want to weigh that word up today. I want to hold it up in the light of this Psalm 127, verse 1. Because this psalm tells us that there are ways that we can build that are completely in vain, that actually lead to no fruit. There are ways that we can stand and watch and wait for absolutely nothing. Yeah? The places we can go and dig and dig and dig and dig and just hit rock. Yeah? And there are ways that we can work that are just completely fruitless. So we want to make sure that we're getting our head around what's going on here. So I don't know if it was because I was poorly when I was going through this, but I'm thinking, I'm going over it in my head. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. I kind of get that. So if God's not in it, then we don't want to be in it. But then I'm also thinking, well, if God is building the house, then surely the builders are building in vain anyway, because if God is building the house and he's the master builder, he's the master craftsman, what can we add to that? What can we add to God's craftsmanship? Surely our best efforts are building. If God's got this and God's building the house, if God's building and labouring, what can we add to it? Surely we can only take away from that. You know, if we've got this omniscient God, this all-seeing God who's standing watch over the city, then what do we add to that? Surely if we stand and watch, surely that's it. Surely there's an aspect of that that's in vain. What kind of sight and wisdom can we add to God's watching? And I started to play it over my thinking, what's going on here, God? What's going on here? And I was reminded of John 6:27. It says, Jesus says to his disciples, do not work for bread that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And you start thinking, so are we working for the bread? Or are you going to give us the bread? It sounds like you're saying we need to work for a gift, Jesus. I'm not comfortable with that as a concept, actually. That sounds a little bit legalistic to me. One minute you're saying, work for bread that doesn't spoil. But the next minute you're saying, I'm going to give it to you. What is it, God? What is it? It sounds like you're saying, I might actually have to do something to receive a gift. Oh, I don't like that. Don't like the sound of that, do you? The question we need to ask is, are we working for the bread, or is God giving us the bread? It's both. Are we watching God, or are you watching? It's both. Are we building God, or are you building it? And it's, the actual answer is it's both, isn't it? God's reminding us today that there's a partnership. There's a partnership. And it's essential for our success. It's not essential for God's success, because God's got this. God's above success. God doesn't need. God is just absolutely perfect. God doesn't need to be successful. God just is. Yeah, God's reminding us today that there's a partnership here that's essential for our success. And it's kind of like this picture of, this amazing picture of our amazing creative God who created the whole universe saying, come on, have a look at this, son. I want you to give me a hand. I want to partner with you as I build my church in Blackpool. Oh, this amazing omniscient God who sees everything. Want to share it with his son. Come here, son. Have a look at this. Isn't it brilliant? That's the kind of partnership that God's talking about this year for us. And And this is in line with what God's been saying to us over the past few months. God's been saying, we're not to say, oh God, because you've got this, I don't need to step out in faith and obedience. I'm to say, oh, well, we're more than conquerors, so we don't need God, we can just rush in. That's what God's been talking to us about with the walls of Jericho and all this other stuff over the past couple of months. So we're not to rush into things and be foolhardy and make things more difficult for ourselves, but we're to partner with God. One of the main things that I wanted us to look at over the next few weeks as we go through this kind of God at Work series is I want us to be able to kind of critically evaluate ourselves as individuals. And I want us to ask God to identify areas in our own lives where we're digging into stuff that's in vain. I think it's really important, where it really ties back into what Andrew was saying. Really feel that as individuals, God wants us to look at our lives and look at the kind of where the places we're going. You know, ask ourselves the question, where the place I'm going, who are the people I'm seeing, what am I reading, what am I watching, what's the stuff that's taking up all my time, what am I digging into, what am I investing in, and is it fruitful? Is it fruitful? We need to do that as individuals this year. But then also as a church, we're going to start pushing in different directions, and God wants, you know, we're going to start doing stuff, we're going to start planning stuff. But we need to ask ourselves some hard questions. Are we just doing this because it's a churchy thing to do? Or is God in it? So I've got massive faith for this Alpha at Easter. But I think it'd kill us if we just did it for the sake of it. Do you know what I mean? I think well, let's do Alpha because we kind of just over the 2-year mark now. It's probably the churchy thing to do an Alpha course. You know, if we start digging that hole and it leads to rock, it'll kill us. It'll absolutely kill us as a church. So we've got to be really wise and we've got to be really careful about what we choose to commit our time to. So thinking about small groups as well. Oh, I just love it that we've got 2 small groups. I love that we've got 2 healthy small groups. I love it that we've got 2 healthy, outward-looking small groups. And this church walk thing that we didn't mention it, but we've been on Facebook. Who came up with the idea for the church walk? Was it you? Was it Jen? Yeah. What a fantastic idea. Someone says, let's dig a well. Let's do a church walk. That's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? What a fantastic well to dig, a church walk. Low bar, easy to manage, outward looking. You can invite anybody you want. That's fantastic. That's something that I think we could do. That's something that I think would bear a lot of fruit as a as we seek to grow as a church and reach out into the community. What a simple but effective outward looking way to kind of with lost and kind of get the lost in. But then there's other stuff we want to be thinking about doing as a small group as well, where we think about the discipleship DVD thing. It's a 6-week course, and I think we could maybe do it once a month, and we could sit down and we could talk about it. And I was just thinking, oh, I like the idea. It's a good idea. But God, is that the well that you want me to dig right now? Is that where you want us to be digging right now? Because on the surface of it, what kind of idiot doesn't want to do a discipleship course? You know, what kind of idiot doesn't want to do discipleship in small group? What kind of idiot doesn't want intense, deep Bible study as part of the small group? Well, yeah, we do. We want it. We do want it. But actually, what we have to understand is, guys, that we're a church plant. We're a church plant, actually. And we've got to be really careful and really selective about what we put time and energy and resource into. Because if we start digging the wrong holes in the wrong places, it could kill us. It could kill us. So what we want to try and do this year is just focus on being outward looking. And we've got to be really careful with how we spend our time and how we spend our resources. So a big established church could probably take a punt on let's help the homeless project. That's great. But in a church plant situation, it's actually a lot different. You know, it's all very well and good saying, oh, let's do more to help the homeless. But that's be a ministry that would put us down a hole that would completely wax all our time, energy and resources. It could wipe us out. So we need to be wise in how we spend our time. We need to be wise. We need to be outward looking and stuff like that. So they're the kind of things that I've been thinking about. What it boils down to this year is, I really feel like God spoke to me saying, this year things are going to get a lot easier. who we choose to partner with, but it's about partnering with Jesus. So Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." Oh, what a great promise for a new year. I could do with a rest, you know. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I really feel what Jesus is saying to us this year is that he has got a plan. He wants to partner. He wants us to partner with him. He wants us to be yoked with him. He doesn't want to burn us out. This year, Jesus, believe it or not, he wants us to have an easy time. He don't want us to struggle. He doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want us to burn out and suck it up for the gospel and be a man and, oh, you know, oh. Actually, this scripture says, and this is a promise for us this year, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're designed to be yoked as human beings. We're designed to serve a master. We're designed to be yoked anyway. It's just who are we yoked with. That's what it is. It's a case of who are we yoked with. And what Jesus is saying this year is he wants us to partner with him. And he wants us to be yoked with him. And it's going to be easy. He's not asking us to be Johnny Rambo's one-man armies. Do you know Johnny Rambo here? John Rambo? No, I've seen Rambo in the 8th. No, John Rambo. Don't push me. No one knows John Rambo. Oh my goodness. You know Rambo. John. You don't know Rambo. No one knows who Rambo is. Oh my goodness me. Rambo, the one-man army. You know, flipping. He camos up, hiding the rocks and kills everyone. God's not called. Anyway, well, that's what God's not wanting anyway. That's the point he's trying to make. God doesn't want John Rambos. And it's a good job none of you know who he is, because that's not what God wants. But, So yeah, I mean, God's not calling for one-man armies. He's not calling us to suck it up. He's not looking for soldiers who, you know, soldiers of fortune. He's not looking for the 18. He knows the 18. He's looking for the 18. Yeah, thank you. Okay, we move along there with the 18. You know, I've tried to do the one-man bit myself in the past. And it's hard work. It's hard work. I remember when I first got saved, you know, the door knocking and things like that. But I was so into signs and wonders. The heart behind it was not entirely bad. I met God in a supernatural way, a mad spiritual way, so I knew that something mad can happen. But when I first got saved, I chased signs and wonders to the point where I wanted people to see God at work, but I think the motives were wrong in some respects. Maybe we're all like, I don't know whether anyone else would be honest and say, yeah, I was a bit like that when I was young, I don't know. But I was so into signs and wonders because I just wanted God to show people who he was. God, come on, God. Come and heal this person. So I remember chasing people on crutches. Can I pray for you? No, leave me alone. No, I think God can heal you. No, leave me alone. Go away. People used to swear and shout at me, trying to chase these people. And as I've kind of searched my heart on it, I think what it was, part of it was that I did want God's glory, but I wanted to be the vessel that God used. So people go, oh man, that was so cool when you prayed for that sick person. I can go, yeah, well, it was mainly God, but me a little bit, you know. And I think that was probably the heart behind it, you know. If I'm being entirely honest, it was like, you know, yes. You know, and this is kind of the going it alone, the kind of Johnny Rambo attitude. And that's what God's not looking for. So I think that was a bad example. But what I want to say is, seeing God move in power can be really, really easy when you're partnering with him and you're yoked with him. And I want to share with you a testimony of the best Alpha course that I've ever run. About 2 years before we came to Blackpool. And those of you who've run Alpha before, you'll probably know that if you do this launch night, you can get between 40 and 80 people on a good launch. Free meal, bit of live music, book a comedian or entertainer. You know, you can write this. It's a plan. You can do this type of thing. It's quite easy. You can get between, you know, 40 and 80 people on a good Alpha launch. And then what you'll notice is that of them 80 people that come on the launch, you might get between 4 and 12 to your Alpha week 1. And then slowly over the weeks, your 12 become 8, 6, 4. And actually, what you'll be lucky with on Alpha is if you land it with 1 or 2. You'd land it with 1 or 2. And normally what you find about Alpha is you do the Holy Spirit weekend away, the way day, and then nobody comes back the following week because they realise what crazy thing it is. But that's the way Alpha normally goes. Now, a couple of years ago, we did this Alpha at Fallen Family Church. And we forgot to plan the launch. So I kind of realised the week before, the guy who leads Bolton Family Church called Rob Coleman, he's very hands-off. He's the opposite to the church leader that I'm used to. And he got to like 2 weeks before and I thought, oh, we're not doing a launch. I just normally come and do my testimony. I don't organise this type of thing. We forgot to do the launch, but we sent out invites. And we got, she said, right, I'll just do the week one talk. You know, Christianity, boring, irrelevant. And we'll get these guys in. So we sent out a few invites. We got about 6 people on the first night. These guys absolutely loved it. And what we found was that on the first night, I did Christianity, boring, true, irrelevant. And then the next week, everyone enjoyed it so much, everyone came back and bought friends. It's like, so week two, and it's grown by about 4 or 5 people. Well, that's amazing. And as I'm preaching week two on who is Jesus, about the historical evidence of who Jesus is, there's this girl there, she's from a hostel, I think she's been involved in, she's an ex-addict, or she's an addict. One of our other friends who was an ex-addict brought her. As I'm talking about who Jesus was, she just begins to fixate on me, and she starts to look angry, and she starts to cry and stuff, and I'm thinking, it's not that, surely I'm not speaking that bad, you know, you can't get that bad. Anyway, as we broke out into discussion groups, what she shared was, every time you said the name Jesus, I just felt this wind. She'd never been to church before or anything like that, never had an encounter with God before. Every time you said the name, I just felt this wind blow over me. And I said, oh, wow, that's amazing. It sounds like, you know, the Holy Spirit's, you know, touching you and stuff like that. Should we pray? And we prayed. We had this ministry time at the end of week one Alpha. I don't know if you've ever been to a Holy Spirit away day. You can normally tell when the Holy Spirit's been in the room, when all the women are crying, men have got snot and tears, you know, the Holy Spirit's been swept through the building because you see grown men hugging each other, telling them how much they love them and stuff, and you have snot and you have tears, you have crying women. But this was week one. This was at the end of week one, Alpha, and it was an absolute, God was just there. And the course slowly grew, and it was the opposite. It was so mad, the course just grew each week. People just enjoyed it so much. They're still bringing people on week 5 and week 6. Absolutely fantastic course it was. And I need to be careful how I share this. I can tell you, during that point in my life, I was feeling so hard-pressed with work and family and church stuff. I never read my Bible less. Never prayed less. I'd never prayed less. It was absolutely nothing to do with me. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I'm just boasting about the grace of God. Yeah, I used to drive there every week thinking, I just cannot do this. I cannot do this, God. I've got nothing left. I'm really, really struggling here. And I'd drive home, and I'd feel 2 inches off the car seat driving home, like the Holy Spirit just carried me home. And part of that is that we had some really, really great older people who were real prayer warriors. And I knew sometimes as I was driving home that I was just the front man here. It didn't depend on me, on my prayer life, on my Bible study, on my knowledge. There was just something bigger at work where God was just carrying me through it. And it was absolutely amazing. What was even better about this Alpha course was how it spilled over into the workplace. I've been trying to kind of be relevant and connect with people at work for a long time. And it just wasn't working. I just found myself compromising and having banter with the lads to try and show them, I'm the same as you guys. Yeah, I can have a bit of banter, you know. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I can have banter, you know. And I was just a bad witness. But this Alpha course was, it was absolute life-changing for the office that I worked in. So say that Alpha was on a Tuesday, went to work on a Wednesday, and this guy called somebody from Preston, all right, McGinnis, what were you up to last night? Oh, what are you asking me? Our church is running Alpha. Well, our church is doing an Alpha course. I'm running Alpha. All right, okay. You don't believe in all that Jesus crap, yeah? such a hard question. The office just went silent, about 10 people. It's like one of the questions that you should try and trap Jesus with. Because if you say, no, I don't believe in all this crap, well, you're just a hypocrite, aren't you? And you just say, no, you don't believe in it. But like, kind of, if you say, yeah, I do, you're agreeing that it's all crap. Yeah, I don't believe in all that crap. So, yeah, I'm really sorry, actually. I'm just weak-minded, you know. I said to him, I remember, like, there were about 10 people in the office, bossing around the corner with the door open. So I said, just took a deep breath and said, what kind of crap are you not believing something? I said, is it something Jesus taught, or is it something that he said about himself? What do you mean? It's all made up, innit? It's all made up, innit? I said, well, no, actually, it's not all made up. I said, what we're talking about here is, we're talking about Jesus, the historical person. No historian worth his soul, whether he believes in God or not, disputes the existence of Jesus. So was it something Jesus taught that you disagreed with? Or was it something that he said about himself that you disagreed with? I've never really thought about it like that, really, to be honest with you. It's all about control, isn't it, though? It's all about control, really, and all this. And it's just so good. Just so good, I was saying. Well, no, actually, it's not all about control. No, it's actually about freedom, actually. It's about freedom from sin, something, because actually, what the Bible teaches is that the wage of sin is death, gift of God, eternal life. So good. And, we've gotten to the point where we're saying, right, well, actually, Jesus is either mad, bad, or God. He's either deluded, and he didn't know it. He either wasn't God, and he knew it, so he's deceiving people, or he was who he says he was. And all a Christian is the person who's weighed up the evidence and said, we believe Jesus is who he says he was. Yeah, well, Jesus didn't really say he was God, though, did he? I mean, he's different times about himself. He says, son of man, this, that, the other, son of David. So I'm thinking, somebody knows a little bit about the Bible here, doesn't he? And I'm thinking, okay. I said, yeah, but actually, Andy, that even the charges against, Jesus said to the Jews, perform many great miracles among you, for which of these are you stoning me for? And they said, for none of the miracles, mate, but because you are a mere man, claiming to be God. So the Jews knew very well. And it was just amazing. This went on week after week after week after week. These really deep, rich theological conversations that the whole office would join in on. And it was absolutely fantastic. We got to the point towards the end of the course, where I've got a mate called James, really quiet, taking it all in, asking lots of different questions, asking intelligent questions. We got to the point where we're discussing predestination. And saying, I believe everything you're saying, McGinnis. I believe everything you're saying. But the one thing that I can't get my head around is, I've been looking at the Bible and all the stuff you've been saying, but the one thing that I can't get my head around is, why is Judas in hell? This was a big issue for him. Is Judas in hell? So what's the matter? So he said, if Judas was only doing what God had predestined him to do, then it just seems unfair for God to punish him with an eternity in hell, because that is what God had made him to do. Like, mate, what we're discussing here is predestination, man. And it's actually quite a deep theological thing to get concerned about at this stage. it's not really an alpha talk. But let's talk about this idea of justice and mercy and stuff like that. And it was just amazing. Now, what I would say is, that was the easiest alpha course I've ever run. If I'd have gone into work and got permission from my boss, can we run an alpha in the workplace, can we have time off this, it would just never have happened. But there's just something about God's fingerprints being all over it, and God opening doors, and God making conversations easy. Can you imagine trying to have a conversation, it's about predestination, but then somebody from the office coming to you going, I've been reading the Bible, and it's just absolutely nuts. So this is what I'm saying, it's so easy, it doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be the hard sell. Preaching the gospel and sharing your faith does not have to be the hard sell. When God is at work and we're partnering with him and we're digging where he's digging, if we're moving where he's leading, these type of things can happen. Now, no one got paid as a result of that alpha course in the office. But they was exposed to enough biblical truth that they were without excuse. There's nobody in that office who will stand before God at the end of the day and say, I didn't know what you want about me. They knew very well. They knew very well. And actually, at the end of the day, we just called to kind of, sow the seeds and stuff. God waters it. And maybe some of these guys will get saved, and that will be a significant kind of event in the light, hopefully. But yeah. Yeah, so the point I'm trying to make about this is that it just doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be difficult. You know, God can give us an open, God can give us a name, God can open the door. We just need to be ready. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for what you've got. You know, God's just saying to us this year, be ready, guys. Be ready for those open doors. You know, always be ready to give an answer for those saying, God, why are you so happy? If you're not happy, then maybe you've got to think about it. But, you know, we should be walking around and people should be saying to us, mate, what's buzzing you? You're buzzing off God. What is it about you that's so full of hope? What is it about you that's so full of hope? It's just something different about you. But what it is, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I love Jesus, I've been forgiven. I don't know, but those kind of conversations can happen organically and can naturally, and it can be really and a really easy thing to do. So I wanted to finish by embarrassing somebody, really. Because I think sometimes we think about evangelism as kind of, oh, those kind of extrovert guys, those good speakers who can do this. You know, but actually, one of the best examples of a workplace evangelist that I know is Kat Fawcett. Well, you might know Kat as the baker. Oh, she bakes nice cookies. She's quiet. She sits at the back. You know, she's a mum. She bakes cookies. Which Matt likes to share, she's got a list for Matt. You know something? In work, she is an absolutely fantastic evangelist for Jesus. She's an absolute presence for God. And not got time to go into the full story, but when I first started working at Blackpool College, things turned badly quite quickly around my CRB. I remember just walking out into the corridor on the induction. I've got two mortgages and no job. His birthday tonight, and I'm Edward Fitz. The cat came walking on the corridor. Everything all right, Damien? Oh no, my CRB's not come back from HR. I think this is going to end. And she might have prayed for you. I said, no, go on. And she literally put her hand on me in the corridor. I'm thinking, whoa! Put her hand on me in the corridor and just started praying. People walking past, couldn't care less. Lord Jesus, we just pray for Damien if you're the best possible outcome. We know you've got a plan for his life. You want to move to Blackpool. Amazing. Absolutely. I was a bit like, oh. It's okay. And she was just like, boom, doing this. Now, the thing is as well, I was up on the sixth floor in this tower. She didn't just wander past. She just happened to be there. You know that? God has spoke to her and said, God has stirred her heart for me, hasn't he? I said, go and see how Damien's doing his induction. And she's gone. She's got a choice to make, don't she? Nah. I'm gone. So she's moved all the way up to the sixth floor on this Cleveland building. Come, found me. In the corridor, heading bits, boom, praying for him. She's just such a prayer warrior. And what I'd advise you to do is ask Kat how she does that at work. Because she's absolutely fantastic. She's always got people to invite. She's always got people on the fringe. She's always got no Christian friends. And she's just a real inspiration for me. And I just really felt God say this year, God, you know, God does, you don't have to be an amazing speaker. It's not about eloquence or fame, you know. It's God's calling the quietly confident. God's calling the quietly confident. He's not calling the big gobs and the big mouths and the eagles. God's calling the quietly confident this year to step out and make bold decisions of faith for him. So we just need to be ready. We need to be on the lookout for opportunities and open doors. And we just need to be prepared to take them, really. So I do believe that this is going to be the year of seeing God move in power. I think things are going to get easier. I don't think they're going to get harder because we're going to learn to partner with God. So, go up there, I'm going to pray. So if you want to join me, that'd be great. Yeah, Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that your yoke is light, God, and that we can be yoked with you, that we can partner with you, Jesus. And I just pray for this church this year, Father, that we would see our friends and our work colleagues come to know you, Father. God, pray this year for massive open doors in our workplaces where people are asking us the maddest questions and putting us on the spot and just giving us wide open doors, Jesus. God, we don't have to be the most amazing speakers. God, we don't have to be the most confident people, God.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.